Before you start listening to this podcast, we've got a special subscription offer. You can get 12 issues of The Spectator for £12, which will give you full access to everything on our website, and we'll also throw in a free £20 Amazon voucher. Just go to spectator.co.uk/voucher if you'd like to get this offer.
Hello and welcome to Coffee House Shots, The Spectator's daily politics podcast. I'm John Connolly, and I'm joined today by Katie Balls, The Spectator's deputy political editor, and Stephen Bush, the New Statesman's political editor. Today, the Health Secretary, Matt Hancock, led the first post-lockdown Downing Street press conference, with journalists doing questions over video link. The conference, the Health Secretary revealed that over 30,000 workers have going to bolster the NHS's ranks, their mix of students and retired health workers. And he announced that a new hospital, the NHS Nightingale, was going to open next week in the XL Centre in London. Katie, does the fact that the government is opening this new hospital in London, which is going to take around 2,000 people, signify that they're getting worried about the health service in London and its ability to cope with the disease?
Yeah, I think it gives you a good indication of where the government think the coronavirus figures are going and how difficult it's going to be in the coming weeks. We've had news today in terms of the number of fatalities. It's now around 400 and it is expected to rise. I think that there is a sense that some NHS hospitals in London are already overwhelmed. If you look at the intensive care units, there are already not much space, but yet we seem to be at the beginning of this outbreak rather than even near the peak. So I think the new hospital is a way of trying to deal with that, and particularly the pressures in London. And I think it was interesting how Matt Hancock today was really trying to bring forward a unity spirit when he was also calling for volunteers for this NHS task force. So healthy individuals who could help deliver goods to the vulnerable, and trying to suggest that everyone is in it together. But I do think as the weeks go on, it's going to get even more testing, because we know the government is obviously trying to make ventilators very quickly, trying to get more people into the NHS, and now there's a new hospital. Is that going to be enough to deal with the surge in cases? I think that if you look at the, in a way, horror scenes from Spain and Italy right now, that is where lots of people in government think we are heading no matter what we do. It's just, how can you delay it? How can you slow the pace? And how soon can you bring that to an end? So I think it's an indication of how difficult things are going to get.
And Stephen, the Health Secretary also announced that the government is going to launch a sort of volunteer army scheme and is hoping to recruit around 250,000 people. Do you think this scheme sort of has much chance of success and will make much of an impact?
Yeah, I think it will actually. I think I'm going to split my answer to that in two. I think yes, it will succeed and people will sign up for it, right? There is a huge amount of desire on the part of people to help out, help their neighbours, help the vulnerable. I was laughing about this with someone in my block, a woman who's in the shielding age, and she saw me and I was out, yeah, and she was in her front garden wave and said, "You're not going to offer to do my shopping, are you?" She said, "I feel I have so many people offering that, you know, I could live to be 100 and I would still have people who I'd have to say no to." And so I think, like, there is a real desire to pull together. What I don't know, right, you know, it's always the, and I don't mean this as a veiled attack on someone who obviously came in as an intern and was hugely successful, but it's a bit like when you get an intern, right? 50% of them are going to be brilliant. 50% of them are going to suck all of your time and energy. You know, just desperately trying to police this person. I do think what people are desperately looking for are ways they can be helpful at a time that they feel, you know, cooped in, powerless, slightly going stir crazy. So I think on that ground, it will definitely succeed. On the clinical side, you know, I'm not an expert and I'm just going to plead the fifth on that one, as it were.
And Katie, there's also been some sort of, I guess to say, tensions today over the clarity of the government's advice, specifically around whether people should be working and whether what they do is classified as sort of a necessary work that they have to travel into every day rather than working from home. Do you think the Health Secretary sort of cleared up any difficulties or lack of understanding of the guidance today?
I think Matt Hancock went some way to doing it, but ultimately what the government is saying is Everyone should stay at home when they can. So in most jobs where it's possible to work from home, you should. And actually, government restrictions, so the closure of pubs, restaurants, leisure centres, gyms and so on, and now actually specialised shops, means that a lot of people are going to stay at home because they simply don't have jobs to go to. What the government hasn't done yet is said only key workers can leave the home. Now, if you move to only key workers, then I think that you will start to see obviously a focus on NHS staff, whereas at the moment, for example, if you're a construction worker, you can go to work, but you are supposed to put in certain practices that mean you're 2 metres apart. I think that the government line is, unless you work for a business, which the government has said has to close, and ideally you'd be able to work from home, but if you can't, then you should still go to work. And I think that there is pressure on the government to reconsider that, to move to key workers only. But it's interesting in terms of what this means, and I think perhaps the most interesting moment from the press conference today, which was one of the sources of tension and actually the pressure on the government to clarify who's allowed to go to work, who's not, the pictures of people getting on the tube at rush hour. Now, we know the government response is the idea that you should have 2 metres distance at any time between individuals to make things safer. If you look at people going to work yesterday and today, that is not happening on the tube. Now, why is that? I think there's two opinions here. Matt Hancock in the press conference was very quick to point the finger of blame towards Sadiq Khan and suggest the issue was the fact that TfL under the London mayor had limited the number of services to such a degree people were having to cram on, and actually there should be more tubes. Now, the view coming from the City Hall and the mayor's office is ultimately that the bigger issue is the fact that it's not just key workers going to work. So you have lots of people having to go to work because that's the only way they're going to make money. And the government is not yet providing support for these people. And that's why you're getting these tubes packed full. Now, that is a dispute between the government and Sadiq Khan. But I think it also gives you a sense of the division in public opinion on what the government should be doing right now. Where is it going to go? I think that there is deep frustration in government at Sadiq Khan, but I think both sides have really doubled down on this.
I mean, on the other side, Stephen, I think some have suggested today that I think Sadiq Khan, among them actually, that part of the reason the government hasn't shifted towards key workers is that it's still balancing the concerns of the economy with versus stopping the virus, and that it's sort of making a trade-off in a Donald Trump-esque way to protect the economy. Do you think there's some merit to that?
I guess it's really hard. It's impossible to say. To be honest, think the problem the government has is not so much that it's making a kind of Trump-style trade-off in terms of how do you stop the economy, but ultimately, right, basically a willingness to, you know, to both to contemplate itself quite how long this might go on for and what that means, and just to tell people, look, knock it off, you've got to close down. But I also think people are deeply underestimating the number of people who are key workers, you know, like particularly in a big city, right? And particularly if you take the view, as I do, that we're going to have to expand both the number of things that we grow here at home, the size of our supply chains, right? I look at the amount of tube has gone, you know, the number of tubes we've had to close for both deliberate operational decisions and people self-isolating who work for London Underground. And I look at the amount of people in this city who are classed as key workers, I about 1 in 10. And I just look at those crowds and I think, well, that looks about right to me. Yeah, obviously it looks deeply terrifying to me. I kind of think that yes, at the margin you have people behaving in, you know, like Sports Direct were trying to behave, but actually, although that is a problem in terms of their societal obligation, they aren't actually, in terms of the total number of people they employ, adding very many people to the pool of going on for work. When I was out for my daily stroll, yeah, it was very clear to me that most people are staying at home, most people are observing the rules. And then even if the government is not being sufficiently on top of it, it doesn't really matter because the country is ahead of them on it.
I think one thing here is ultimately the government has come under a lot of criticism for not bringing in measures sooner in terms of not just advisory measures, but saying, actually, you need to stay at home. And it was quite clear from Matt Hancock's press conference today that he made clear this wasn't just optional. This was much more serious than that. But while I think the government has flip-flopped a bit on some advice, I think it is still the case and has been the case throughout this that ultimately, there is a view among lots of ministers and a number 10 that there is only so long you can get people to go along with certain measures for. And I think the slowly bringing them in. Actually, I think the government would be quite happy if the public and businesses are preempting things that they might have to tell them to do. So a lot of the time we've seen businesses doing something before the government has announced it. And I think a lot of people, when they heard the press conference last night, probably watched it and thought, well, I'm actually doing all these things anyway. I'm not going out unnecessarily. I'm probably going out once a day. I'm not going to the shop, you know, if I can avoid it. And although I think you can pitch that as the government being behind, it should have done things sooner, I think the approach of this government is the best way to get people to go along with the things you're doing is to bring them there with you rather than just tell them what to do, which could have happened 2 weeks ago.
And in terms of sort of the government meeting its own targets, the government has said it's going to ramp up testing facilities for coronavirus. I think Matt Hancock has come under some criticism today for not so far increasing those numbers. Stephen, do you get the sense that when this new testing facility opens in Milton Keynes that those targets will be met?
Well, so okay, one of the really interesting, this is a hugely important thing, really, so I shouldn't be being quite like, oh, well, there's an interesting point about devolution here, right? But one of the really interesting unknowns about the United Kingdom's ability to tackle this crisis, which is being obscured because actually the devolved institutions, despite having 9 different political parties in them, 2 of which would like to break off from the United Kingdom, are working really well together, then actually the thing is, although Matt Hancock can go, I'd like more tests here, I'd like this to happen there, there's this big operational thing called NHS England and Public Health England, created in 2012, who are being tested for the first time in this thing. So the answer to all of these questions is, we don't know. And I think in an odd way, the thing that will matter a lot more, right, because I think you talk to most MPs of all parties and they all assume that at the end of this there'll be an inquiry, because at the end of everything in British public life there's an inquiry. But what will really matter will be 2 things: our comparative death rate, and 2, how do our 4 very different NHSs, it's not actually called the NHS in Northern Ireland because it includes social care, but how do our 4 very different NHSs respond to this crisis? And I think that is going to be the central test. In an odd way, all of the stuff about have we got the ventilator line, is test and trace happening, we don't know any of that. But the big kind of political question, focusing on the thing that I do understand as someone who's not a medical expert, will be, how does it perform relative to everyone else?
Thank you, Stephen. Thank you, Katie. And thank you for listening.